we head into Upfront and NewFront season, the industry is preparing for the announcements that will shape the ways in which advertisers, marketers, creators, and media platforms will engage with and monetize content. I'm Michael Gewurzman, Global VP of Programming at Advertising Week, and this is Upfront Conversations. Today, I'm joined by the founder and CEO of Reach TV, Lynn Wood, Woody Bibbins. Woody, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk.
Happy to do it. So before we dive in, Reach TV has a really unique approach to content distribution. And for those who might be unfamiliar with it, can you just provide us with a quick intro to Reach TV, where we might have seen its programming and what your original vision looked like as compared to where we've evolved today?
Yeah, I mean, Reach TV's goal at the beginning was, how do we program down to a screen in an airport, right? I was at JFK Terminal 4 and said, why isn't that screen programmed the way I want it to be? So we started off by figuring out a way to deliver content stream and inside this environment that was really tricky. And we started off with really good short form content from the likes of Hollywood Reporter, Billboard, and a lot of young creators, more of in a short form, really entertaining content. And we delivered that in a way that allowed it to both be cached and then played back. So we always were up 100% uptime. So that was kind of how we found our way into the industry, into this airport ecosystem. And that was our strategy, was cache play. And that ensured us to be at 100% uptime.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where you don't know of it necessarily, but you've definitely seen it if you've ever traveled anywhere. So thanks for explaining. So how has your year-over-year growth shaped your strategy for content development and partnerships in 2024?
I think the last 3 years have been amazing for us. Not only I think there was a new appreciation of travel and that journey. And as we've evolved, what we've been looking at over the last 2 years is how people airport, and then how do we program and what kind of content do they want to see. And that's led us to the journey of, let's go with the number one thing they want to watch is the same thing they want to watch at home, live sports. Yeah. So we've really went on this journey since 21 of really acquiring and obtaining the live sports rights. And then on top of that, giving them things that they want to watch non-live sports. So we've really, really been hyper-focused on how do people airport and what do they want to see when they airport. And it's led us on this journey to really change up our content strategy and to expand on it. And that's a big change you'll see now, is that we are, for all intents and purposes, a live sports network with a little bit of business and a little bit of lifestyle in between those times that we don't have live sports.
Yeah, well, you've got NFL games, you've got the LIV golf tournaments. What else can we look forward to when it comes to viewer engagement and you know, sports as part of your strategy?
Of course. I mean, NFL was, you know, just that we have every 288 NFL regular season games, playoffs, and Super Bowl. We have that for the last 2 years. We also have the pregame shows, which nobody really talks about, but it's a super engagement part when, you know, I'm in a fantasy league for now 28 years. So having that fantasy league, having that last minute ins and outs. We get that from the Fox NFL Sunday. We get the Amazon pregame show. We get these NBC Sunday night. So we're really, really, really blessed with our contract with the NFL. And it's been a win-win for both parties. Live Golf has been amazing because you know who's playing every week. So we have stars every single week. And then when you go into college football and college basketball, both men and women, it's been amazing to be able to have all these different content rights. I mean, the next one is NBA. We're been big partner. We had signed an agreement, and now we're expanding that. But we're about to launch our first thing with the NBA, which is amazing. We're so excited about it. That is one of our biggest goals. And then we're going to start moving to, as you go through, there's other sports that we have our eye on that are really specific to our audience that really love it. We found that people love women's sports. When you talk about golf, there's a natural progression, which is tennis. So, you know, as you start to think about all the things that really matter to our audience from a live sports perspective, we'll be focused on those this year and going into 25.
Yeah, women's sports is having a huge year, and congrats on the NBA deal. That's awesome too. Given your strategic approach, and it's a really unique distribution model, as we said, how do you leverage data to determine, you know, what resonates with the audience? I'm sure there's a very diverse audience. It's just, it's travelers, right? And just using that data to provide advertisers with their most effective placements.
So we've been investing in data since we started. I came from a tech background. So when there was nothing to do with it, I said, we're still investing. So we were opting in, doing surveys, collecting name, address, email address, first name, last name, all that from the beginning. And what's happened now is obviously that's become super valuable in a cookieless world. And we've then, what we've done to make it even more advantageous for the advertisers is we've integrated into all of the major data, agency data platforms, Epsilon, Axiom, M1, Mercury, you know, all of them. And we've matched our devices inside of their environment. But now we're able to look with the planning team and do a 360 approach from the minute someone books all the way through their entire journey and back to their home. Our advertisers can talk to our travelers, and we can look at how they airport and what message we want to tell them on that entire journey all the way back to their home.
That's really interesting. Now, beyond sports, which we've spoken quite a bit about, what other unique formats and series are you working with? Are there any new ones that you're exploring that you could share with us?
Yeah, I mean, we're announcing tomorrow, which is amazing. We have a new show called Dollar Bill with Bill Rancic. It's all about the finance and structures and everything. And Bill's amazing dude who owns construction and restaurants and an investor and just an amazing, amazing dude. We have another show that we're doing live. That's called Market Movers Opening Bell. We're shooting from the iconic New York Stock Exchange floor. That's 1 hour every day, every morning, Monday through Friday. That's a new series launching May 1st. We also have multiple series coming from Maria Menounos. We're super excited about where she's producing them for us. We're exclusively being delivered across Reach TV. And we wanted to bring people that people love. Like Maria is a person that everyone across the country loves. And she really understands how to talk to travelers and tell you the story about how to travel. So we're really, really, really excited about it. You know, with her, we have two different shows with the New York Stock Exchange. It gives us a unique approach at focused on how we can talk about AI, blockchain, and data and the effect it has across there. So one of our one of the interviews and one of some of the people that we already have on there are airlines who are using like chatbots to really talk to people on their journey. The whole ecosystem is becoming really relying on data. So when you asked the question about data before, it's actually driving decision-making on whether or not people are, what planes are buying, what restaurants are going into airports. We are really starting to find that Reach TV has become the platform inside this ecosystem that is driving things throughout. And when you look at an airport on a monthly basis, $2.5 billion of revenue is generated inside those walls. And our screens are there. So our proximity to purchase is 10 feet. So we are really a key factor. That's why some people call us a streaming network. Some people call us retail media. Some people call us all kinds of things. But what they always all can say is that we have the data and that proximity, and we have the ability to drive and make and help carve out decision-making for consumers at that point of purchase.
Yeah, let's go even further when it comes to the tech advancements, because I'm sure there are some advancements that are playing a really critical role when it comes to content delivery, engagement. So how are you using these advancements from that engagement perspective and also for the advertiser experience?
I mean, so go back to the beginning of what I said. We're able to program content and advertising from all the way down to the screen. So we program nationally, then we program regionally, we program by airport, we program by terminal, we program by gate and by screen. So we sometimes have in the same terminal something playing at Buffalo Wild Wings and other things playing at the gate, or another thing playing in United Lounge and something else playing here. So our ability, and it's because of our technology and the way we did the cloud and our delivery system, it allows us to program based on the environment that's in and we have data that backs that up that lets us know who's there. So we are fully integrated with our partners, our concessionaires, fully integrated with our airports and looking at data and knowing who's in that airport. So that is really what drives all of our engagement.
Such an interesting differentiator. In what ways is Reach TV's approach to content curation unique compared to, say, traditional broadcasting and streaming platforms?
I think because of our rights window, and because some of the things that we do, we know that we can't make everything that's there. And so I think it starts for me. We're egoless on that. We look at what's best for our viewers and not what's I want to make, right? And what happens is I think our approach allows us to collaborate with more people than most. So we work with pretty much everybody. We don't, we're not a competitor. We're the leader in this space. So as a leader, we are collaborative. Collaboration is more like what we are about versus having to worry about competition. I think that allows us to have a calmness. And I also think this allows us to look at it from the perspective of our viewer and our partners and our advertisers. And we are, you know, we have the ecosystem that they're all relying on us. So we have this very unique approach of the airports partners with us, the concessionaires partners with us, the consumers rely on us to get them information in real time. There's a component of what are they going to do in our anticipation of knowing that using our data. And so that allows us to know that, hey, we need surf content in San Diego. We need trucks and cool stuff in Minneapolis. We need cool things to do when you're in Tampa versus going down to Fort Lauderdale. We understand this ecosystem because we live it and breathe it. And by the way, the best part about this ecosystem, why we're so focused on it, we're not focused on anywhere else, is if you look at it globally, it's a $10 trillion market, travel and tourism. Not only is it a $10 trillion market, it employs 10% of all people, all jobs, 10% of them are in the travel and tourism market, and it makes up 10% of all global GDP. And if you peel that back to the U.S., it's exact same numbers, almost $1 trillion in revenue and impact. 10% of all of our jobs are in travel tourism, and 10% of our GDP is in travel and tourism. So we are really focused on this ecosystem, because we know if we can own that space and be the network of that ecosystem, we can make an impact for everyone involved.
So is that the big picture? Always just, you know, airports, airplanes, always traveling. Once they get home, is there continued engagement?
Airlines. Remember, hotels, we're streaming in 500,000 rooms. We're on the mobile devices. We're then going back to 84 million homes on CTV. So from a retargeting perspective, we're integrating into social. We have a partnership with TikTok, with other partnerships. So we look at the person as a traveler. And how do we follow them all the way through that entire journey, wherever they are?
So let's step aside from the trip. So you're talking TikTok, you're talking, you know, phones, CTV. How is that engagement post-travel? How does it continue on and you continue to build those relationships with viewers?
So we have over 494 million opted in first-party device IDs in our ecosystem. We've matched those inside of platforms like Buyint and Trade Desk and others, and where we can then look at those people 24 hours after they leave, we can then look at targeting them across their mobile devices. So we can do that there. We can also look at them and when they log into the Wi-Fi, we do Wi-Fi takeovers. Then when they're in flight, we have the Wi-Fi in flight. We're doing content deals in flight. So we're doing live Sports 24 where we are powering it and bringing our advertisers. Then we're in hotel rooms. Then we're when you come back through that whole ecosystem again. And then we're in 84 million homes we're able to retarget you as well. All connected TVs. So we look at it as we know who that traveler is and we're following them through that entire journey all the way back to their home.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense for advertisers.
And one last thing I'd like to add on that.
Yeah, of course.
The uniqueness that we have is because we have so much first-party data, we're now creating clean rooms with our advertisers and putting them together. So now we'll know X car company who you're, whether that person or just bought, so you want to reconfirm that buy, or have an older car, you want to come to get a new one, or hey, they're in the market for a new car. and here's what you want to do. So we have that ability to match our data with their data and then be able to target those customers. So really getting down to the nitty gritty and more, and also everything. We've probably have 100 case studies showing that we can drive and prove and guarantee attribution. So we're very measured, just like the airport world is.
Yeah.
And it allows us, because there's so much data and so much measurement, we make sure that we are in line with that. So we measure everything. And we drive outcomes for our partners, our advertisers, our airports, our agencies, our concessionaires. Our goal is, how do we drive everyone in that ecosystem and keep pushing it forward? And I will say this thing. The other thing I'll add is, I told you it's a $10 trillion market today.
Yeah.
They just came out with, it's projected over the next 10 years to grow to $15.5 trillion. So this is the fastest growing retail sector that you have, because travel is growing at a pace that outpaces other parts of the economy. People used to be frequent flyers of fly 3 times and now flying 5 and 6.
Right, right.
So this is a market that we know we can dominate and own. It's just going to keep growing. That's why you don't hear us talking about other verticals. We are very focused on where we are. And we are very focused with everybody in our ecosystem that we're going to deliver them these travelers.
It's a smart strategy. And you teased a little bit of the announcement for tomorrow. You mentioned NBA. You know, are there any other teasers or at this point, like a spoilers, right, that you could share in regards to the upcoming content that you're going to, you know, really make an impact with?
Dollar Bill with Bill Rancic. That series is going to be amazing. It's executive produced by Bill Maher. Maria Menounos, we're dropping that series. That's going to go well. Our New York Stock Exchange opening bell, that's going to be announced tomorrow as well. So we are going to make this this upfront fun, engaging, and chock full of announcements and unique opportunities that we haven't had before. And our agencies and advertisers get a chance to go with us on that journey.
I'm really looking forward to seeing it. And as we come to a close, just share with us what excites you the most about Reach TV's future and the direction it's headed, because it really does seem, I mean, pretty limitless right now.
I mean, I think what will happen is, as a CEO, sometimes you try to, it's your baby and you want to do so much. I think this year for Reach was, as I let go, we can grow. Mm-hmm. And what I've done is let go. So we brought in talent. We have Bob Bruders as our new president. First time we've had a president. We brought in Andrew Eisner as the EVP of sales and partnerships. We are growing and adding the team that's going to allow us to grow and meet the demand that's coming. So I would say not only adding to our team, but also the deals that we're able to do now and the partnerships we're able to bring on, it's taken us to another level. And we've always been able to sit at the table with any other network, whether it's an NBC or what have you. But I think we're also creating our own table that allows us to do unique things that nobody else can do. And I think that's what excites me. I see it. I see the merchandising part of it. Because we're so close to conversion, to revenue, to commerce. I think we can do something that no one else can do because of where we are. So that excites me. I mean, I came from e-commerce, so I find that exciting. I feel like a TV network that can actually drive revenue and convert in a way that nobody else can.
Yeah.
I think that's fun.
Well, it's a really exciting time to be there at Reach TV. It's an exciting time to be someone who watches content, a traveler, an advertiser. Good luck tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to seeing how everything pans out, and really appreciate you joining us today.
No, I appreciate it. And I appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity. And of course, we do things with you. So
yes.
I think that sometimes when I look at what you guys have built and the platforms and the opportunities, you guys have helped a lot of people like myself, you know, smaller black owned businesses, give an opportunity to sit on the stage with some other companies. And I do appreciate it and want to make sure that I highlight that, because it's not something that's small. It's extremely important. And you know, I could speak for Gary from Pod Media. We're both really appreciative of that.
Well, it's important to us too, and we always love working with you. And, you know, thank you again for joining us. Really do appreciate it. That's going to do it for this episode of Upfront Conversations. Thanks again to Woody for joining us. Thank you all for listening, and we'll catch you again next time right here at the crossroads of content and commerce. See you soon.
Thank you for listening to Upfront Conversations, a podcast from Advertising Week. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider sharing it with friends and colleagues and leaving a positive review on your platform of choice. For more content from Advertising Week, the global leader in events and content for the advertising, marketing, and technology industries, visit www.advertisingweek.com.